Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Starting a family is undoubtedly an exciting time, but the reality of seeing a positive pregnancy test can send even the most laid-back woman into a spiral of sleepless nights. Trust me, I've been there. We're here to tackle the conundrums that keep many mums-to-be, just like me, awake at night when they find out their life is about to change forever. Hello and welcome to Baby on the Brain, a podcast brought to you by Stylist magazine, dedicated to the big life questions you face when you find out you're pregnant. My name is Fliss, I'm the digital executive editor at Stylist, and I'm pregnant with my first child. I'm actually on day one of my maternity leave, so it feels very poignant to be recording the final episode of the series today. With maybe less than 10 days to go until the baby arrives, I will do literally anything to distract myself from the reality of becoming a mum. This week, things are going to run a little differently. I don't have a co-host, as we'll be revisiting some of our guests and co-hosts from previous episodes for their best bits of advice. I am, however, joined by a very special guest. For the final episode of the series, I thought we should tackle the return to work. And who better to do that with than my own boss, Lisa Smozarski. I'm on my best behaviour. My palms are sweating.
You're talking very well today, Fliss. Thank you.
This is my radio voice. Hello. I wondered if you wanted to introduce yourself for people who didn't know you as well as I did.
Yes. So I work with Fliss. I'm the editor-in-chief of Stylist. And I have three children, which is possibly going to make up part of this conversation as well. I have been editor-in-chief of Stylist for 11 years, that's making me feel very old. And my eldest child is 10. So I've had all of my kids through my career at Stylist and have, you know, had to navigate some of the waters that you're going through at the moment in terms of going off on mat leave and finding it really hard and then doing it again, but yeah, that kind of, I'm not going to use the word juggle. I almost did, but I hate that word. But trying to navigate the different aspects of your life and trying to retain your own identity throughout that as well. It's fun though. You know, it's fun. It's good.
Is it actually though? Because I don't know if your face is saying it really is.
Oh, listen, I feel so unbelievably privileged to be in my position, to have this amazing career and a family. You know, not everyone can count that. And I've been really supported through the whole process. Very different managers, different times through Stylist. But actually, all of them have been really supportive of the fact that I can have both, you know, and I can do both. But it's not always easy. It's not super straightforward. We can talk about that. But actually, you know, I'm here to say, yes, you can do it and it will be fine. And you will still be super Fliss at work and you'll be an incredible mum as well. And it is, you know, that's entirely possible.
I'm very glad I get to share all of these profound pieces of advice with everyone that's listened to this podcast, because I get this privately, but now everyone else gets to hear it as well. You'll still be super Fliss at work. I write that down. I've got a tattoo.
I'll have it imprinted on your official signature.
Thank you. The first thing I had written down that I really wanted to tackle with you was, in your experience both as a mum and a manager, would you say there is one big pitfall that women tend to fall into when they take maternity leave? Is it like the attitude towards maternity leave? Because I know when I first mentioned it to you, I was like, I think maybe 2 weeks is long enough, maybe three. And you said to me, you need to have a little think about this.
I don't think there is one big pitfall, because I think everyone approaches it differently. And I feel like I've seen such different attitudes and approaches to it. And I feel like my attitude's changed with each of my children as well. Mm. I think your pitfall, if we talk about you individually, was you are so terrified to leave your job. And actually, what I was trying to say to you is you might feel differently when you're holding a new human in your arms.
Yeah.
And actually, I was really scared to go on mat leave because I had not long launched Stylist, and it was a baby of another sort to me. And I was so incredibly proud of it and really enjoying my career. Made me very nervous to leave. And I felt apologetic actually for that. And I think that perhaps is the error, is you have nothing to apologize for. You know, it's no reflection upon your career at all. You are just choosing to have a family as well. And I think, you know, I can't say that will be true of everyone, but that was definitely the case for you, is that you're kind of going, you know, don't worry, I'll be back. I'm not, we never questioned your loyalty or your commitment. And I think so many women do feel that actually, that by saying I choose something else as well, is a way of saying, oh, my career's not as important as it once was. Well, that's not true, is it? You know, no man was ever given that conundrum. So actually, I think it's just a case of going, I keep trying to say to you, it's just a different time, a different chapter. It will be different, but it doesn't change who you are, your commitment, your loyalty, how good you are at your job. And actually, I think I did say to you this, it goes so fast. And I remember coming back from my first mat leave and I was like, look at me, I'm a mother now. I've changed so much. I mean, I've got a human and I've spent all this time doing something so different. I came back to work and it was so disappointingly the same, like nothing changed. I could have been in that same meeting seven months before. And, you know, no, what there were no flashes of lightning or thunderbolts, you know, nothing was that different. So that was incredibly reassuring because actually, you know, in terms of work, it feels like a lot happens in that time because we're so busy. But actually, you know, you're planned out for a whole year. You know what you're doing and coming back to. So, you know, it doesn't change as much as you think, but it's because your life is changing so much, I think.
Oh, exponentially. This is definitely, hands down, the biggest thing I've ever done.
Yes.
Interesting that you said that all of your maternity leaves felt different.
Yeah.
How did number one feel different to number three? I suppose that would be the biggest difference, right?
Yes, I think so. So number one, as I mentioned, I just was really worried. Nobody had gone on mat leave in Silas. It was small business. And I was doing it all for the first time. And I was just really nervous about that. I think, you know, I'm saying to you what I said to myself, or that I felt myself, was that I was worried my commitment was under question. Yeah. I didn't want to lose this amazing job and this amazing opportunity that I'd had. So I went very cautiously and I really didn't disengage for quite a long time, actually. It took me probably 3 months to stop checking my email on a daily basis. And I wasn't replying because I knew I shouldn't be, but I was sort of stalking in the background and just knowing what was going on. And a brilliant line manager, and he said to me, you know, whatever you want to know, I'll tell you, but I won't approach you. You have this time, you enjoy this time. He was a father, he knew what it was coming for me in a way that I didn't. And he was really supportive and we meet for coffee and sort of do it on my terms. But I really found it hard to extract myself. By the third time, I was like, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to really enjoy it. I know that I can go away and I can come back again. I know what the politics are or what the things that I have to navigate are. I feel more confident in my own career, perhaps, and just who I was. I'd done it for longer by that point. But again, you know, I'd come back and I'd done great things in the past. I could do that again. So I guess my confidence had just grown. And I really wish I could bottle that and give that to a first time mum going off on mat leave, because it felt so different. And it changed my maternity leave, actually, because I was able to just go, you know what, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm not going to worry about work in the way that I worried about it the first time. So that's why I try and pass on to you. That's the bit I want you to take, is that it will be fine. It will be totally fine. But also I understand what it feels like to be in that moment.
I think also the pandemic is playing into my feelings as well, because I have got FOMO about everyone going back to the office. The thing that everyone ran away from last year, like, yes, we get to work from home in our PJs and I get to, you know, do whatever I want. And to a point, obviously, we've all been working very hard. I realise now who I'm talking to. But, you know, I don't have to commute and I don't have to do all these things. And now people are returning to the office and working together and sitting in groups and chatting. Doing that thing where you turn around on your chair and you talk about the TV you watched last night or the lunch you had. And I'm going to watch everyone doing that from afar and be like, cool, I'll see you next summer, 2022.
I know. And this is it, you know. But there are ways to keep in touch socially with your colleagues. And I think that's really critical as well. You know, I've said to you, well, we can have lunch, Liz, and you can bring your baby. And the good thing is people want to hold a baby when it's not theirs. So like, you know, everyone wants to go. You get time off and you get to catch up and you get all the fun things.
Yeah.
And you will develop your own network like that, you know, with your parent friends perhaps, or people that you meet while you're off on maternity leave. And you know, I know you're in a unique position that you've moved during a pandemic. You haven't been able to do NCT in the same way, and I think that is a bigger challenge than I faced in the same situation, because I was able to do those things. But actually, it was amazing how much I did need that network. I wasn't sure I would need it, but I really did need that network. I needed people who were in it the same thing as me at the same time. And they became like colleagues. The bants were still there, you know, the what you're having for lunch chat. It was all, you know, all the really important stuff about going into the office was still there. And, you know, I missed my colleagues. Don't get me wrong. They're people I love and respect and just like being around, because I learned so much from them as well, especially you, Liz. I'm going to miss you. But it's like, you know, but actually, you know, I did miss that. I can't say I didn't miss that. But I did try and replicate that with the lunches or keeping in touch. And, you know, we have got Zoom now. You can check in and you can catch up with people in a way that you couldn't before. But also, you know, we're not all lugging it back to the office straight away. This is still going to be a period of transition. Yeah. It'll be hybrid for quite a long time, I think. So maybe it will never be exactly like that anyway. That's probably just pandemic pining for
The great unknown, isn't it? It's like looking out to sea and not really seeing anything. It's a bit strange.
Yeah, it really is.
So I tweeted on Friday was my last day at work, and I tweeted, I probably should have started preparing myself mentally for my maternity leave before today, but I've got 5 hours left and it's just hit me that I'm not gonna be working anymore. Do you have any advice for anyone out there who is about to take their maternity leave on how to best prepare for it? Because I found I really have had to kind of just narrow my field of what I'm doing. So no, I don't need to get up in the morning and open my laptop, and I don't need to check the news first thing, and I don't need to be on it straight away. But it has been, I've had to take steps to take myself away.
But is that because you don't want to or because you don't know how to?
I don't know.
I'm going to say definitely how, given the answer. But
yeah.
What would I say? I mean, I did give myself things to do, actually, because I'd worked for so long. I'm a very structured person. I didn't think I'd be very good at drifting. And I know for sure from being quite lazy and loving a lion that I'm not my best version of myself if I lie around all day, and doing that as a norm would be problematic for me. And I think lots of my friends, and you know, I understand where it comes from, were saying just sleep, just rest, because you know, you'll be really tired when the baby comes. And I was like, well, I don't think science says that sleep works like that, you know. don't think you bank it and you can just sort of go through your reserves. But yes, be restful, I understand that. But I had little tasks. I mean, I hadn't really thought about having a baby, if I'm honest. So I then thought maybe I should spend some time thinking about this and what that means. The little bits of prep that obviously you know, it is good to have your bag in order, to have your room in order. It's quite exciting. It's allowing your brain the space to actually move into the idea of having a baby. Mm. I did, I guess, again, non-pandemic world, I did make sure I was meeting people for a coffee or for lunch. But again, putting in some social points, I think, keeping in touch with people. So you're not just, you know, you're used to speaking to a lot of people every day.
Yeah.
To go to nothing, particularly when no one else is around, is really hard. So I did make sure that I had a few check-in points throughout. I went off 2 weeks before my mat leave started, but they were both around Christmas time, so I had a bit of extra holiday in there, and they both came a week early, Fliss. So, you know, it's so it wasn't that much time actually. And then I was really into the idea of I need to work out what to do with this tiny individual now, because that was very all-consuming, because I hadn't actually spent enough time thinking about it. So my only bit of advice would be is, like, you know, maybe do a little bit of homework. Yeah. What happens with a newborn baby? Chat to your friends, you know, try and understand that early stage. Because that, for me, was the shock of going from this very structured working day through to nothing.
Yeah.
And then through to actually, again, all consuming, but something I don't know how to do and I'm not very good at, actually, after being quite good at my job, you know. So again, they were the biggest shocks for me. So I think maybe if I could do that again, I'd have just taken a bit of time to allow myself a transition. Mm-hmm. And actually read a few more articles, you know, or a book, whatever you want to do, listen to the podcast, just do something to move into that idea that, you know, your day is about to look and feel very different.
Yeah. I had one room with everything in. So we'd painted it. We'd done the traditional things.
Nice.
We painted this room.
Yeah.
And Aaron has built the cot and wanted his picture taking while he was doing that. It's a monumental moment, he said. I was like, okay, I'll take a picture.
Oh, bless him. That's actually quite cute.
I know. But we had everything in there, and I said to myself, I will get everything out and put it around the house when I'm on maternity leave. And I also had a pair of slippers. You're going to think I'm completely nuts. I had a pair of slippers that one of my friends gave to me in just before Christmas.
Mm.
And they're really nice, like, slip-on, fluffy, white company slippers. And I said to myself, I'll save these for the first day of maternity leave.
It's got
them on right now.
Oh, I love it. I think that's really nice, because it's about treats, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of, actually, you're about to go. I said this last week to you as you were leaving the office. You're about to start this amazing new chapter of your life. You just don't know it yet. You haven't experienced it yet, but you're going to have the most incredible time. And I think little rituals and markers are really good. You know, the slippers will always be synonymous with going into mat leave. And I said to you, I watched Mad Men through the whole of my first maternity leave. And actually, this is my advice. Do not set yourself any other targets higher than watching a boxer. I mean, it's, anyone who's like, and that's when I'll launch my podcast or my own business, forget that. You know, this is about actually put your feet up, you know, feed your baby however you choose to, watch your box set. And actually, if even hearing the music, it's so nostalgic and wonderful for me. It's like, I would watch it now and I will have all of those feelings come back. So I'm really like the idea of rituals and moments that differentiate that time. It is different, really hard, but it is so special that actually, anything that you can do to sort of go, it's a different period now. I think that's a really positive.
Yeah.
I actually think that's a really positive and comfortable step for you, Fliss.
Thank you. I feel like I'm making steps in the right direction, and this is turning into a therapy session, but I'm not hating it.
1-to-1.
That weekly therapy session we have in our diary. So this episode is really about the return to work.
Yep.
So we've navigated quite a lot about me, like, winching me out of work. Physically and mentally. And I think what I haven't really thought about is going back to work. And there are so many hurdles there.
Yeah.
But actually, in terms of people I know who have gone back to work, for them, it's a lot of them don't want to. And I don't think that will be my case. I have no idea.
You don't know.
I can't imagine that that will be, because I feel very privileged to say I actually really do like my job. But
you're just saying that because I'm here, aren't you?
Yeah. But a lot of people I know are on maternity leave and saying, I really, really, really don't want to go back.
Oh my God, it's so common. I mean, I did, I'm trying to think what the numbers were, but I did NCT with 8 people. Mm-hmm. And we all lived in the same area and we were all working. And by the end of mat leave, a lot of people were either on the cusp of moving or had moved already. A lot of people had challenged and questioned their jobs. There was only a couple of us whose life just carried on as it had done before. Yeah. It's a really normal. It's a really normal time to evaluate. But the thing is, I don't think you'll know this till quite a few months' time, actually, because it changes so much through the first few months. And I found one of the things I found difficult is I decided I would return about 7 months. And there was no particular reason, partly financial, partly I guess this, as I was saying, you know, this sort of feeling like I wanted to get back to my job. I found it much harder to go back than I expected. I suddenly was like, I'm getting something out of this baby now. This baby's giving me smiles. We're having quite a fun time together. So some of the stuff I found really hard at the beginning had eased up. And then I was back at work and I was like, oh my God, it's gone. I've missed it. It's all over. You know, so how you feel is not how I thought I would feel going into
interesting
that time. And that's why I keep saying to you, and I would say to anyone, don't decide now. Don't decide now. In fact, you've got the entitlement to take up to a year. Use that if you want to use it. Don't use it if you don't want to use it. You know, it's like, or if you're in a position to be able to afford to not use it. But it's, you know, it's a really unpredictable time. You're dealing with a lot of hormones, a lot of emotions. You're bonding with your child. You are living a very different life. Some people love it. Some people don't like it. Some people really want to go back to work. Some people don't. And this is it. This is the part of the change. And there is a change. You're not going to be exactly the same after having a baby. Yeah. Your huge amount of your identity will remain the same. But, you know, obviously you have invited a new human into your home and they're settling in, you're building a family, it is different. And sometimes that changes how you perceive work in the mix. So all I would say is, until you have to give your statutory kind of amount of time to return to work, don't make that decision. Mm. Give yourself the space to think about it. I mean, childcare is the only factor to scupper my lovely romantic vision of that, because of course a lot of nurseries you've got to I've heard of people putting down deposits whilst they're pregnant on nurseries. So
yeah,
you know, depending on what your childcare circumstances are. But when you start to think about it, that will help you make the decision, because you start to imagine what life will be like. And that, you know, that is a whole, probably another episode just on childcare alone. But, you know, I think you change so much that probably you just don't want to make a solid commitment if you can possibly afford to.
I saw my mum yesterday and she actually said to me, have you got your name down for a nursery?
That's relaxing, mum. Thanks.
I don't think so, mum. She just gave me the eyes and I was like, maybe we should be thinking about it.
I didn't do that. I mean, I did it on mat leave once. Also, I was really not sure what I wanted, actually. Did I want a nanny or was I jealous of a nanny? I didn't even know. Did I want a nursery? Did I want interact? You know, there were all these different questions. Again, how could you possibly know that at this point?
Totally. We don't actually even have a name for a form yet, is the problem.
Oh, yeah, true.
What do I put? Baby Awan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure they do go down like that, to be fair.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so looking at the return to work, what would you say was the best thing about going back to work for you?
Right, before I went back to work, I did the biggest shopping spree known to womankind. I mean, honestly, I was like, the clothes I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
You know, one of the identity things I struggled with was my changing body. And I think you've touched on this in a previous episode. My body looked and felt a bit different after I'd had a baby. And, you know, obviously I was breastfeeding for some of that time. So different tops, which were all horrible, you know, really gross bras and things, leaking bits of my body. So I was like, oh, work me, like, you know, get putting nice clothes on. And that actually was a really important, I talked about rituals, but that was a really important ritual. Cause I was like, it's almost like the first day of term. I was like, oh, what am I going to wear? How exciting.
Yeah.
The social aspect was by far the most important to me, I think, you know, being back around these people who I love and respect and the structure of a working day. And I didn't stop using my brain. Some people suggest that, but I did keep reading the news and I did engage with things that weren't just about babies. And, you know, I have lots of great chats with my friends. So I felt that I was still stimulated, but actually working felt very satisfying. Again, it was something I knew how to do. I was really in control of. I think I'm good at. Actually, that felt really nice to get back into that position. We're in the business of making content, and there is a lovely, tangible feeling when you make that content, which is quite unique, I suppose, to our industry. But I loved that. That gave me such a kick when I came back to work. I'm like, I made something. I've done something. You know, it's very satisfying. Babies are just ongoing. You know, they give you little moments, but it's, you know, it's not a finished job, is it? So, you know, I think I really took something out of that, but definitely the social aspect. But I really did feel like I regained a bit of my identity when I went back to work. And that's because, a bit like you, I love my job and I love what it says about me, I suppose, you know, about who I am, how I introduce myself. It's a big part of who I am. So I loved having that back again. You didn't ask me this, but I volunteer anyway. The hardest, but it was harder to say goodbye to my baby than I expected. Actually, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you the honest answer. I found that hard, but what I found harder was leaving the office to get back for the baby. Now, I'd always been the last person sat at my desk, particularly managing a team. I was very happy to do that. I wasn't being a big martyr, you know, it's just how I worked. Never really thought about my finish time, just sort of finished what I was doing, then drifted off. It was good for my brain as well. I could sort of complete what I was doing and then go home. Suddenly I had this pressure to get home and I felt so guilty to my colleagues. I cannot even express how that made me feel. I was like, maybe I'm not doing my job properly. Maybe this is it. This is what happens, is that you're just, now this is just presenteeism. We're not even talking about working. So I massively overcompensated by doing lots of emails in the evenings and lots of work out of hours. I just felt like that was my struggle. That was my real.
And was that the first time you went back?
Yeah. And definitely I got better at that. You know, I think I wrote an Ed's letter about this actually a couple of weeks ago. I have a problem. I grew up with the generation who were very sort of office-based, work long hours, you know, it was just sort of a culturally normal experience. And I did find the fact that I had to compromise that quite difficult when I got back. Now, what I would say is everyone around me was completely cool and totally fine. My managers were like, you've got a family, of course you have to leave. You know, that's not, I wasn't even leaving that early. But I did find it difficult.
How long do you think it took you to get back to a kind of normal routine or to get into a new normal routine?
10 years.
This is not the answer I wanted.
No, do you know what? That's because that there isn't an answer to that. Because what I found actually, so each child has brought a new childcare demand. And actually childcare changes way more often than you think. So as a planner, and you are a planner too, I was very keen that I had everything laid down and organized. Like I knew what day my husband would be picking up, what day I would be picking up, exactly what time I'd need to leave in the morning. I just wanted to understand what that looked like. So I organized that the first time, and then I was like, right, that's done. And I assumed it'd be like that forever, and it isn't. Suddenly, either we had to, I mean, all sorts of different things, like suddenly joining a school nursery rather than a private nursery. Rich's mum helped us out on a few days when she couldn't. We had to adapt again. And the one thing, and I've said this a few times, and one thing I've learned is it is never a done deal. Just accept it's going to evolve and change. So that little bit of kind of stability that I was hoping for, of knowing what it looked out like forever, I then had to adjust and go, once I accept that I know it's not going to look like that forever, I'm much better. Because actually now in pandemic world, I mean, every day I'm like, are you picking up the kids or am I picking up the kids? Where are the kids today? Like, it has to be so flexible. And I have had to learn to be more adaptable and flexible. You know, the day you get the call from the nursery going, can you come and pick them up? They've just been sick. And you're like, well, I've got three meetings. But actually, your job as a mum comes first, or your partner as a dad. One of you has to put that first at that time. So, so again, that was a real learning curve for me, because it just meant I couldn't control everything. That's what it is. I couldn't control it all. So therefore, I had to learn to be more relaxed, to be more adaptable to situations, to what the kids need as well. And that it wasn't going to be a one-size-fits-all solution. So why I say 10 years to finding my new normal, it's changed so many times. And again, the pandemic has changed it so beyond anything else. You know, you've sat in meetings with me with various age kids popping in saying hello. But now we're like, oh, it's just, that's kind of just how we work now. You know, that has become another version of normal. So psychologically, it probably took me to my second mat leave, actually, to get perspective on that. It did take me a little while. And there's 2 years between them.
That's interesting. I think the flexibility thing is what I probably need to work on in my mind. Because as you were talking, I was sitting here thinking, what? I've got it all worked out. How? You're crushing my dreams right now.
Oh, no. Before, that's not my goal.
Before, you know, like when this was just a little secret between me and Aaron, and we were kind of thinking, oh, my God, this might happen this summer. We both had to sit down, because we have moved and we will be commuting, and say, right, well, if, you know, we can't afford 5 day a week childcare. So thankfully his mum is going to step in and my family will step in at some point. So we're looking at 3 days a week. Do we both go to London on the same day? Do we not? What would happen if we were both in London on the same day and suddenly there's a phone call and she's poorly? I have no idea. But in my mind I was like, it's fine, because we've got this all set. Monday to Wednesday we'll both be in London.
Chewy in the nursery, like,
and it'll be fine.
It will be like that for a bit. It's just, it won't be like that forever, and that's it. That's the only bit to get your head around. Like if you get 6 months or a year or 2 years of that, then brilliant. That'll be absolutely amazing, and you'll get used to that and you'll settle for that. But at some point it will change again. And that could be the addition of another child. It could be a move in nurseries, or in, you know, going to school or something like that. Yeah. So, you know, it just changes. And I struggled with those changes because I'm not as flexible as I'd like to think I am. A horrible control freak. But but actually, you know, that's something I've got more and more comfortable with, and I have learned to adapt. And also I've learned it's not the end of the world. I mean, the first call
you get where they're like, can you come and pick your kid up? Again, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have to look out the office and tell people, I'm going to let people down. It's going to be terrible. And obviously everyone's like, oh, I hope they're all right. You know, I hope everything's fine. You're like, oh yeah, because that's the important thing. You know, it's not you going out work. You know you will always make up your time. You'll do what you need to do to get your job done. So I think they're the emotional moments that, again, I'm completely fine with that now. I feel so comfortable, but that is the bit that took me time.
I wonder if the pandemic is actually beneficial, or that what's happened to working and hybrid working and flexible working is probably going to be beneficial to new mums or mums all over. Old mums, new mums, OG mums.
I tell you, I really never imagined I would get to see my kids this much. And actually that has been the silver lining of my lockdown, is that I'm closer and see more of their worlds than I have ever done before. And, you know, there are a lot of barriers to homeschooling and working at the same time. I'm not going to lie about that. It wasn't as enriching as some people have reported. But actually now I am factoring going to pick the kids up from school because I'm home, and that's when I'll take my break and I'll pop down and pick them up. Now, just to get that small amount of time, it's time I never imagined I would have. I always assumed I'd be in an office a certain amount of distance away. I was fine with that. I'd made peace with that. But actually it has been a real benefit. And I think, you know, at the moment, my four-year-old, I only have a part-time nursery place for because I can't get a full-time. Well, I would just have her at home. It's fine. You know, it's like before that would have been preposterous. Like, like, what were you thinking? I'll just take her to the office. It's not going to happen.
I would have loved that.
I mean, she'd have loved that.
She'd have just torn around.
She'd have owned
being it. Being a tiny little boss. Yeah, she really would.
But that's it. I think, you know, there are some unexpected benefits. And I suspect for a new parent, that transition back to work will be different. You know, it will be different if you're doing any level of hybrid or, you know, home working. Obviously, that's not the case for a lot of people, and they will still have to do it as they always have done. But, you know, for many of us, that is a bit of a benefit. And actually, you know, to a degree, you're weaning yourself off your child often when you go back to work. You might be able to do that in a more gradual phase. And I think, you know, we've got to take these positives where we can get them, Bliss.
Absolutely.
You might not have had to see anyone for 9 months.
God, yeah, it has been a long 9 months. As a manager, how do you handle people returning to work? And this doesn't necessarily have to be at Stylist or even about me, but I just want a manager's perspective on this, because it's so easy for us to talk as women and, you know, as a mum and a mum to be, and go, oh, I'm a bit nervous and all of these things. But as a manager, I'm really interested to know how you handle it when someone says, I'm pregnant, and you start thinking about their return to work.
Well, I think, oh God, it comes way before that, really. I guess as a manager, you're thinking about what you're going to do while that person is on maternity leave. Obviously, you know, we would never ask how long you were going to be off for. So you're trying to make a contingency plan with some flexibility in it as well. So often that is the first point of thinking about that person's return for work. Obviously, then I'd be anticipating at some point a discussion about hours or how they might want to flex their work around their new arrangements. Because obviously, again, a bit harder in a pandemic because we can't predict what life's going to be like in X amount of months' time. But, you know, usually I would be anticipating. Well, actually, there's a point where you're like, are they going to come back? Are they going to come back? And sometimes, you know, you've got a really good steer because you've had keeping in touch days, or you had. And sometimes people just go off grid, which is totally fine too. And I would heartily recommend doing that. But it does mean sometimes as a manager, you're not 100% sure where someone's head is at would work. Yeah. So there's some kind of more HR logistical stuff to go through, hours, return. And when you're having those conversations, you'll start to get a feel of how nervous someone is, how excited someone is. So then you can tailor that return to work to that person, because I think it is so different. It's so, so different. And, you know, I've known of mums coming into work and being really upset, missing their child so much, and therefore that being the key thing they have to navigate. Other people coming in, actually, I really remember there's someone worried they'd lost their skills. They were a designer and they needed very practical shortcuts and things on the InDesign, and they wanted to come in and just make sure they were up to speed and able to do the job again.
Fair enough.
So I think, you know, if it was you and I think I'd be feeding off you really, and just sort of going, right, where is she at? What does she need? Do I need to give her something in advance? That could be time, it could be information, or it could be, you know, how the return works and getting a person back up to speed. It's so different. I mean, I'll just be if you say I'm coming back. I'm trying to switch here between too many hats. It's hard.
Sorry.
If you say I'm coming back, it would just be so exciting. So then it'll be ready. The other aspect, of course, is looking after the person who has been covering that role and really taking into consideration. That can be quite tough sometimes, particularly if it's an internal candidate who might not want to go back to their role that they were doing before, even though, you know, you're always very clear about what the arrangement is. So again, navigating some of the things that might have happened with the team and making sure everyone's in a good place is all part of the manager's experience of mat leave, but so completely different for every case.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about people who aren't in our industry and how it's also completely different for them. So people who work in shops and actually have a very active physical job where they have to return to a shop, and how different that must be.
Well, again, I do think we're super privileged in the industry that we work in, and it would be remiss to not comment on that, actually, because we are afforded a lot of flexibility, and that's both in how we work but also hours or things like that, or the physicality, like you say. You know, birth can be quite draining in many ways, some of them physical, and I think, you know, for some people it's not quite as easy as it was before. They might be dealing with health issues that make that return to work a bit more challenging as well. So I think, you know, my advice is, it'd been really important to be as transparent as possible with your managers. As a manager, you can only feed off what someone is giving you. Otherwise, you sort of just follow what you think is happening, or your own perspective perhaps takes, this is what I needed. So actually, it's so helpful if someone is like, this is where I'm at, this is what I need, and this is, you know, how I think I can navigate that return. You know, always good to hear someone's true and honest perspective. But obviously different industries demand different things. And I think, you know, you have a lot of rights as a woman returning to work. It's really important to know them. You know, we are talking in a very idealistic way, but obviously lots of people do have trouble navigating the return to work, both in terms of requesting flexible working, or in terms of actually how they need that job to work for them when they return. So really critical to know your rights, I think, if you're in that position as well. You know, there's a wealth of information out there. It's really easy to access. There are laws protecting you as a woman returning to work.
Yeah.
Your job should remain as it was. You know, so I think knowing all of those things, arming yourself with information if you are nervous about that return. Because, you know, we're talking about identity, but actually for some people it is really serious. You know, they don't have the rights that they should be being afforded. They find themselves either demoted, or you know, the management team has changed, or the structure has changed, and their role isn't the same that it used to be. Now that most of the time is illegal, and knowing what you should be navigating is really important as well.
So what I would say on that is, there's a good starter on episode 8, which was with Jolie Brearley of Pregnant Then Screwed. And actually also on episode 4, Anna Whitehouse, Mother Pucker, touched on this as well. So there's two very good resources there on Baby on the Brain. And
Anna's done some brilliant work and has a lot of research available actually on this and what your rights are. So yeah, that is definitely a good idea.
Absolutely. All right, so let's wrap this up with your one piece of advice to anyone who is looking at returning to work after maternity leave.
I think the main thing is about being kind to yourself, actually. It is another big change. You know, I mentioned I was caught out by the fact that I felt guilty to my colleagues. No one had warned me that could happen. So you think you've accounted for everything, and inevitably there's something that kind of catches you out. And there is a huge spectrum of things that can be emotional, it can be practical. So actually not bursting in the doors and expecting it to be exactly the same as the moment you left is a good way of being kind to yourself, because actually it is going to feel different. It is going to take a few weeks to bed back in, to probably get back up to speed again. You're the new kid coming back in sometimes, you know, you might be a bit out of the loop with information, but actually almost treating it in some ways as a new job, because you have got so many new things going on in your life. So I think walking back in the door and going, I should be as great as I was the second I left, and, you know, I'm completely on it. And actually I've got childcare sorted. I'm emotionally grounded and I've got this is very, very hard. So taking it day by day. And I think the other bit, and I know you want one, but I can't do it. I'm not an editor, but I can't edit myself, is that, you know, it's going to keep changing. It will keep changing. Be fluid, be flexible, and allow yourself to adapt to that and the fact that it will change. Because I think rigidity through the whole parenting experience is not our friend. You know, babies change all the time. Our circumstances change all the time. So actually, chilling out is probably very, very useful. And I'm saying this to myself still, 10 years on, but you know.
Yeah, this is, I'm just sitting here thinking about the routine I've got planned in my head. Everything's out the window.
But, you know, as I said, I like a bit of routine. I have to put that in for myself. It helps me feel like I've had a good day to have achieved certain things, whatever they are. You know, that could be my episodes of Mad Men. It could be getting down the shops. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But putting some sort of structure in has been good, whilst accepting it's going to keep changing. You know, it is going to be fluid. That's a terrible word to finish on.
In celebration of the final episode of this series, I thought it would be nice to go back to some of our guests and co-hosts and ask them for their final piece of advice. Here's what they had to say.
Hi, I'm Nina from Don't Blunt Mums, and the best piece of advice I could give to anyone who is pregnant or a new mum right now is... what really helped me is to remember every stage is a stage. I got really stuck in thinking, colic's never going to end, and why is this happening? And honestly, when you're in the moment, it feels like it's going on forever, but it does pass, and every stage passes. And in that moment, it feels like it's a mountain. But remember, yeah. Every stage is a stage.
Hi, I'm Grace. My advice for pregnant women, particularly those in their first trimester, is don't let GPs and doctors dismiss sickness that you have. Remember that their reticence or their hesitation isn't because it's not safe, it's because it's expensive, and it's also quite time consuming to dispense because you can only get so much at once. Of course, they need to be sure that you are in need and that they're not dispensing something unnecessarily, but you know your body, and we know that few things are set up to make pregnancy easier for women. There is a whole range of options, from travel sickness tablets right up to the medication that they normally reserve for chemotherapy patients to stem their sickness. So don't suffer unnecessarily. And also bear in mind that medicines aren't about harming your baby. They're about making sure that you can take in and keep the nutrients that you need to thrive and that your baby needs to thrive.
Hey, my name is Janet, and my advice to a pregnant woman or a new mum is simply to allow yourself to adapt to your new role. There's just so much going on when you have a baby, and you might want to go back to your old self and just bounce back to work, or go back to the things that you used to do. And it is tempting, but I promise you, you'll be able to have the time for those things later on. I would say allow yourself to adapt to your new role, embrace your new reality, embrace your new baby. And guess what? You haven't just got a new baby, you've got a new mum as well. So adapt and embrace it all. And yeah, just enjoy your new title as a mum.
Hi, I'm Tash. And the one piece of advice I'd give all pregnant women is talk to each other as much as you can. Whether you speak to other pregnant women or people who already have kids, it doesn't matter. From weird poop stories to cheer you up if you're having a tough day, to empowering birth experiences. Embrace the oversharing and get bonding.
Hi, we're Sarah and Laura.
And the best piece of advice we could give to anyone who's pregnant or a new mum right now is that everything is a phase.
The good, the bad, the hard, the easy, everything's a phase. So just roll with it, go with it, and enjoy them while they're great.
And as someone who started this podcast series with a million questions, I think my piece of advice to everyone would be to try to find the joy in each moment and remember to keep laughing. There will likely be tough times, but try to enjoy what you can of your pregnancy, because that's exactly how I've tried to live through mine. Not even a pandemic was going to stop me sharing some of the more ridiculous pregnancy moments with my friends and family on WhatsApp and social media. I mean, from swollen hands, a huge belly, clothes that no longer fit, and more often than not, some really, really bad fashion choices. I've been through it all. But if you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at? So try and find the joy and keep laughing. Well, that's all for this episode of Baby on the Brain and for series one. A special thank you to my guest Lisa and all the guests and co-hosts who have been so brilliant during this series of Baby on the Brain. As I head off to relax into my maternity leave before the arrival of this baby, I'll be thinking back over the last 10 episodes and reminding myself that it's all about the journey. As always, you can tweet us at Stylist Magazine, find us on Instagram, and use the hashtag #StylistBabyOnTheBrain. Remember to subscribe, share, and leave us a review on the App Store.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.